Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood.
Hey, everyone. Justin. Happy Monday. Happy Super Bowl Monday, for that matter.
Yeah, after an uneventful Super Bowl, pretty much. Well, I mean, not for you guys, though. I mean, I'm sure y'all were... The California folks, weren't they going kind of nuts over the Rams?
You know, California is interesting when it comes to football because it's so divided and there's been so much movement, you know, with the Chargers moving from San Diego to L.A. and the Rams moving from St. Louis back to L.A. and Oakland, now moving from Oakland to Vegas and all that. That I think football is not really, I would say, a solid spot as far as sports go within California. That's just my perception on things. You know, I think you've got certain pockets of loyal fans, but it's not really prominent like you might see, obviously, with like the Patriots, who have a tremendous following and follow their team, you know, to the end of time, basically.
Right. Well, there was.
But yeah, I mean, I think people were excited, you know, let's say that it's been a while since the Rams or a California team, for that matter, has been in the big show. So, you know, that part was really great.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I mean, I was rooting for California and the Rams and hoping that they might maybe pull it out. So, but to no avail, but they certainly, you know, well, showed some good defense. Both teams did, obviously, of course. You know, Patriots are awesome team, make no mistake about it. But it was good to see LA, you know, give them a good challenge. So it was a spiritual victory, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think, Sean McVay still, I believe, youngest coach ever to a Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So that's a great accomplishment for he and for the Rams organization. You know, they should be proud of that. Yep. You know, and they're still young and they still have a lot of growth. And he turned that team around in a matter of 1 year. This is the second year, or was the second year, I believe, as full-time head coach. So they got a bright future ahead of them. And the Patriots, well, they just continue to find ways to win. I sense that their era is coming to an end soon. We all keep saying that, but what is it? They've won 6 in 18 years, though.
Like, yeah, wow.
I one in every 3 years to win the whole thing. That's tremendous when you think about it.
It is. But, you know, we got to share the wealth a little bit and, and kind of hopefully another challenger will emerge and knock them off the, you know, get somebody else in there as a champion. So,
right.
Any commercials strike you that any of the Super Bowl commercials resonate with you one way or another?
You know, I thought the my two favorite ones were telecom ones. There was T-Mobile did like, I think, two or three of them. It was like the second T-Mobile one in there. I thought it was really catchy and grabby, and they did a nice job. And I really liked the Verizon first responder commercial because they made it about, you know, the people, right? And, you know, it's funny. Like, you saw the 7-second spots, right, which were just, to me, I don't know why you'd spend $3 million on a 7-second spot. But whatever, I like those two because those two to me hit home, right? But that was just me. What about you, Bruce?
Yeah, I liked the telecom ads, and then gosh, there was one like TV dinner ad That was, did you see that one? That was
I don't know that I did, actually.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, he only lasts 3 minutes and, you know, kind of alluding to his stamina, but that's how long this macaroni and cheese. And, you know, all he does is watch it, you know, and he snaps his computer shut because he's watching macaroni and cheese porn. Oh, gosh. It was really an interesting ad. They had a lot of good cliches for for that type of thing. So anyway, yeah, and that his macaroni and cheese was getting in the way of his marriage, and she's out there with a lingerie on, and he can't quite perform because he has macaroni and cheese on his mind and all this other stuff. So yeah, it was, if you blinked, you would have missed it. They snuck that thing in there, but I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, it's always nice to see those references and pull it off in a clean way.
Absolutely.
That was with my 21-year-old, so it wasn't exactly a family friendly. It was a little bit of an awkward moment to watch that with the adult child, but everybody's blushing. So, but
kind of like the cartoons or the Pixar movies or some of those, you know, not Disney necessarily, but
right.
you know, children films where they have some of the parody humor right. for the adults built in, you know, that the children might not get, right?
Yep. Well, yeah. This was pretty strong. I mean, every guy in the room got it. Man, we were just like, "Oh, hey, all right," you know. So,
yeah, that's wow. funny. I'll have to see if I can find that.
You'll have to. I'll try to send you a link or something. But wow. Anyhow, so I know you were out and about last week. Tell us about your conference and your training and last week. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So the week prior, we had our sales kickoff, which was, you know, incredible for us, right? So, you know, we had a couple days of training. Basically, we flew some of the sales guys out, you know, to the West Coast. A couple days of intensive training and a happy hour social mixer event on a Thursday night, and then we did planning and strategy on Friday morning. So just a great week overall, really just set the tone for the year for Vablet. And then last week was at a MedTech conference on Monday, another great event. And it was our first one to actually host as a booth, right? So we put some pictures online, you know, of the booth setup. And I thought it was great because, you know, it's funny, you go to these trade show expo type events where there's, you know, booths and tables and they all kind of blend in together. And you know, thankfully, have a good creative team, you know, led by my other half. You know, Naomi does help with some of those items, and she's like, hey, you know, she puts her creative flair on it. Hey, we need balloons, and we need to get a spin the wheel, and you know, and it became you know, almost like a party, right? Not truly a party. It was still professional, but it's like it was exciting, right? You go into a kind of a bland, boring expo hall. With, you know, people are handing out flyers and papers and just nothing really exciting. And then you see like a colorful wheel and it's like all of a sudden you feel like you're sort of in Vegas or temporarily in Vegas when you're at that booth. So that was what we tried to accomplish. And I think for the most part we did. We, I would say, had more visitors at our table in our booth than any of the other vendors that were there. So that was exciting. You know, it was our first one to actually, you know, do it. And you know, we kind of stepped out on a limb and, you know, the results, you know, were proven. So that was fantastic. And then we had a networking event. You know, I went with the co-founder to a networking event on Wednesday with the Irvine Chamber of Commerce. And that was another solid event. Just, you know, mix and mingle, you know, typical cocktail hour type of thing. So that was fun too. And just been really, you know, busy, right? Focused on networking. It's that time of year, you know, companies have generally speaking set budgets and set some initial plans in motion for the year and are investing in business development activities right now, right? networking conferences, expos, and the like. And so it's definitely that time of year. And, you know, we're hitting the ground hard, you know, so it's been fun. Yeah.
So people would, let's say, Company X would pick up some of the literature there and express an interest, and then one of your people would go out to Company X and do a demonstration. How does that kind of?
Yeah, it's a great question, because Valet's a software company. We try to stay, or one of the core missions is to be carbon free, right? So we're always striving to basically have no impact to the environment, or little to no impact to the environment. Obviously, you know, when you print paper, that is. So we actually didn't do any handouts or flyers. We do have business cards. Eventually those will all be electronic, but we still have business cards. And that's about the only thing that I can think we regularly print. So we had a display at our table, right? Think of your, like your computer monitor, 20-inch display, you know, streaming with a rolling ad. We had the wheel. We had, you know, ourselves kind of hosted at the table there to open and answer any questions. And if someone, you know, expressed interest or said, hey, what's Vablet? You know, we were able to quickly walk them through it, or walk through a demo actually on the spot. And then really the purpose of these type of events is mostly just to collect contact info, to do follow-up. It's not to try to close anyone on the spot.
Right. Just to kind of get your foot in the door and get the brand out there and stuff.
Pique interest, you know, demonstrate the product to a couple people. Get some good content photos, which we definitely did. That was really the purpose of it. And we had a lot of interest that was expressed. I was actually, you know, pleasantly surprised, right? Because you never know with these things, especially if you haven't done one before. It's total shot in the dark, but overall I'd say it was, you know, our message and our story was really well received by the conference.
Good. Now you're gonna have to do that all over again this next week, or it's a different type of a meeting that you have?
So this week, starting tomorrow is a packaging and automation conference out here in Anaheim. So we'll be at that for a couple days, followed by another networking event on Thursday night at the Marconi Auto Museum, which is kind of a cool spot. They got all the old classic cars, you name it, right? Like you think of classic cars, they have it there, right? So there's an event that's going to be hosted there on Thursday night. Then I have a Friday lunch networking event. So basically every day the rest of this week I'll be at some type of event, and then I fly to Georgia on Monday, so we'll be out for the show next Monday. I'm flying to Georgia for a marketing summit conference, so it's bringing a bunch of marketing leaders and senior executives like myself together to talk and strategize marketing, basically.
I was going to ask him, you know, do you have to change up what you do depending on where you're at? Like, okay, an automation conference, your presentation would look like X, but at a medical med thing or whatever, it would look like Y, or is it pretty much the same software? You know what I mean? Do you have to make adjustments in your presentation depending on the show, I guess, that you're attending?
Yeah. You do. You have to tailor your pitch a little bit based on who you're talking to, for sure. And you just do that through the use cases, right? It's examples of sharing how the product can be used, right? So you're not going to say to a manufacturing company, you're not going to say, hey, this is a good tip for all you out there, by the way, that are doing business development in your everyday life as an entrepreneur. You know, you can have, I say, sort of a general elevator pitch, right? We always talk about elevator pitch, have an elevator pitch. Yes, right? But the elevator pitch should be fluid and should mold based on who you're speaking with, right? Like for you, Bruce, you're not going to use your elevator pitch on, you know, counseling for, you know, your prison systems, right, that you would right. for someone that's an executive.
Correct.
Right.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. So we do the same thing as well.
Well, yeah. And I mean, obviously with me, it's kind of, I just switch over to a completely different service line, you know, but kind of learning what Fablet is from a layman's point of view, you know what I mean? It's not a, I don't think it would be a complete change of the service line because it's still Fablet, but it's just kind of,
right.
like you said, the application is tweaked for that particular industry.
That's correct. Yep. Yep. You hit the nail on the head. Just modify it a little bit, make it more tangible for the person you're talking to. And they usually appreciate that for the most part. So, yeah, I mean, and that's really, again, anything you do, right? Whether you're selling ice cream or books or consulting services or software solutions, you know, it needs to mold, you know, with the person that you're talking to. Not meaning you try to fit to them, but meaning that you try to speak their language. Because right. your product or service will only serve a certain market need, but you know, you still need to speak the language of the person that you're talking to.
Exactly. Still need to. Now, is that something that you do? I mean, that's part of your job, right? Is coaching your sales staff how to be nimble like that to be able to present Fablet to X, Y, or Z, you know?
Yeah.
Market.
Yeah. I mean, part of my role with, well, you know, not only sales leader, but sales coach and trainer, if you will, right? And I think that's why they liked me for the role, because if you think about it, if you're launching a new team or new organization of any kind, it's not just a leadership function, leading or managing. It's a training and coaching function as well. And I bring the blend of both. And in the case of Fablet, right? So I'm constantly mentoring and grooming, you know, the sales executives on the team, not just training them on like how the product works. I mean, that's kind of foundation, but how to position, how to hunt for new deals, where to invest your time. You know, when a client comes back to you and they say, hey, you know, I don't know about this right now, or they're pushing back and giving you, you know, hurdles to jump over, how to get over those hurdles to push a deal over the edge and get it to closure.
Right.
So I'm constantly training up the team on all of that, individually and collectively. And that's just, you know, that's a big part of what I do day in and day out.
Yeah, I would, you know, it seems like you have to be a very multifaceted person to kind of understand, apply, get in there, sell it, and then actually people have to do the close, right? Or do you have separate people do the close, or well, could be both? Yeah.
The idea is that you're, you know, teaching men how to fish, men or women how to fish, right? And so you might help them bring the fish in the first couple times, right? Say, hey, go look over here in this area and go fish in this area. And, you know, they're fishing, and then you help them reel it in. But eventually, you know, you want them to be pretty self-sufficient where they can fish on their own, bring it in, and they're like, hey, do you want to join me for dinner?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good analogy.
What about for you? I mean, you've probably come across, not maybe from a business development, but you have a couple, I know, key coaching aspects that you're leveraging and that maybe you've made unique to your value proposition to the market.
Right. You know, it's pretty interesting. I think, you know, what I do is more problem based, right? There's some identified problems going on, and the company or the client is seeking a solution to an already existing problem, you know, And it's, you know, one, making sure that I have the skill set and tools necessary to be able to assist that coaching client with their problem and get them to a better place, and kind of be able to fairly quickly orchestrate a path to that better place, depending on what the problem is. So I think, you know, there's just a variety of different problems that people are, you know, self-limiting beliefs, et cetera, or other things blocking people that they seek a coach for. And so I try to, you know, make sure that I'm, you know, the right person. And then if I think I'm the right person, then, you know, craft a plan and a pathway to that better place. So on that revenue stream, you know, I'm kind of chief and bottle washer, you know, I'm, I am, I'm, I have, you know, I'm the coach and I'm the one setting the plan and setting the rate and doing the invoices. It just is interestingly, these 1099s are coming in, or not 1099, yeah, 1099s. We talked about the 1099 mindset. Man, when those things were hitting the mail, I'm like, did I work with that company? Did I do that? So it was like, and another one would come and another one would come. And I'm like, crap, I hope I withheld enough quarterly taxes. Anyway, so that's a first world problem, but I just get this slew of mail and it's just like, oh, but no, that's a good thing to have. But trying to keep a track of everything that happened last year and keep a track of everything that happened this year. But so in that regard, there's that. Now, you know, last week, I had Jose Santana, who works with me with federalprisonauthority.com. That's another interesting company that I have that works with attorneys and or possible defendants in federal cases that are faced with the prospect of going to federal prison and doing federal time. And in that industry, President Trump signed into law some interesting federal prison reform things called the First Step Act.
Mm-hmm.
And so myself and my associate, Jose, have literally had to, it's almost like new scripture, reading this law that has litigation aspects to it, excuse me, it has post-conviction aspects to it. So we're reading all the post-conviction stuff that's always been our wheelhouse. And obviously, I mean, Jose's an attorney, but he's not, you know, we're in the capacity as consultants and not attorneys or anything like that. But so anyway, long story short, you'll love this. I did a kind of a review. We kind of did a critique of each other at Federal Prison Authority. And of course I was hard on myself enough, but we had lost some sales, due to, one other thing was not having the Zelle and Cash App and Zelle and some routing numbers. We had some, you know, we were kind of going old fashioned with payment. A lot of people were kind of hot to pay, and we didn't have those quick Cash App mechanisms to pay with. And so that that created some, what I would say, lost revenue.
Right.
Number two, I lost my temper. On the inside, I was never horribly rude, but I'm pretty short tempered sometimes with potential clients on the phone that are on the criminal side, not the executive side. Boy, I have the patience of Job with my executive clients. You know what I mean? Because these people call, the executive clients call. They have an identified problem. They have insight. You know what I mean? They have resources. Right. They have a desire to change. But the criminals or the criminal's family, defendant, whatever, sometimes they're looking for a way out, or, you know, and then they're trying to argue the merits of the case. It was the rat. It was the stitch. I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. And you start taking an external locus of control, whether you be the external attribution theory, where you're not taking responsibility for your behaviors or your predicament, and you stay on that vein, I slowly start to unhinge. So I had to, and if I can't redirect the people, then I just end up being short with them and say, you know what, until you can take responsibility, I don't think we can help you. And of course, my partner was like, why didn't you say that? So when I find myself feeling like I have bugs under my skin or something like that, or my scalp starts tingling with anger or something, then I say, you know what? I'm going to pass you to my associate. He knows a lot more about the area that you're talking about, and I'm going to have him give you a call in the next 10 minutes. And so,
there you go.
And you figure that he has more patience and so anyway, I believe it or not, Justin, those two issues, remedying those two issues, A, with better customer service, I guess you might say, on the front end.
Right.
No, it's not customer service because they're not customers yet. What is it? Sales?
What'd
you call it?
Sales experience.
Prospect. Give me a millennial term, man. A good solid millennial business.
I don't know that millennials talk like that.
Stanford business, you know, Pepperdine business term. Come on.
Prospect management.
There you go.
I don't know.
Prospect. Yeah, like it. Yeah, prospect management. Anyway, between that and the some of the payment vehicles, that is gonna synergize. So I have noticed. Even here in the second month, fourth day, are pending closures are up like 30% from last year. And I know it's because of my deferring to my partner to interact with them. So anyway, what's the story behind that? Story's this. Don't want to get into the founder's trap on that revenue stream, you know, being the end all, be all, one man band, which I am on the other, which I am on my executive coaching. Make no mistake about it. Look, I have other coaches and yourself that I can call and reach out to and say, hey, you know what I mean? I'm stuck on something, but you know what I mean? The front end of that is so easy. You know, the front end is like, hey, I got your name from such and such, or, you know, we heard of you from XYZ. Here's the situation. Can you help? And then we just have a really good discussion. You know what I mean? A very good peer, you know what I mean? Peer collegial discussion. And, golly geez, just, and you'd think, after all those years working in prison, I'd have more patience. I guess I have more patience live than on the phone. Maybe that's it. So something about the phone just asked. So anyway,
it's hard. It's hard to read people, you know, or harder to read people on the phone.
I know you had a recent personnel action you had to execute on. Did you do that with a smooth phone, or were you excited?
What you mean, the termination that I had to
refrain? Yeah. See, I've been using my skills here. You had a recent
personnel
action that you had to.
a, Well, you mean termination? You mean,
yes.
I did. It's not the first one, by the way, of this project. It'd be the officially, yes, the second one. The first one was a pretty quick one. It was like within a month of the hire. This one took a little longer to develop. And one thing that happened or was a result of the kickoff that we had a couple of weeks ago is we had the sales executives present out their plan for the year. And it was testing several different skill sets. Obviously, the ability to present, the ability to formulate a plan and strategy, the ability to do it at an executive level with executive level optics in mind. There's all these, you know, things that we were looking for, I think. And one of the guys, that coupled with just some challenges that we've had with them with communication, we made the determination to, you know, just part ways, you know, with them, and go in a different direction. You know, that long term, the company is looking for a certain cultural mold for any account executives, and he just didn't fit that for the company long term. So it's never meant to be, you know, obviously it's an unfortunate situation and no one likes to fire anyone. It's not like a fun thing. It's not like I look forward to terminating people, but you have to do it when it's the right thing for the business. And you try to do it with class and grace, you know, and part ways with people on, you know, I don't want to say good terms because of course it's not like good, you know, but, you know, as good of terms as you can. And in this case, it did. Part of that is your preparation leading up into the execution of that termination, you know, and I guess helpful for maybe some of you small or even medium-sized business owners out there. It's not just saying, hey, you know, we're going to part ways. It's like being methodical about, do you have your termination letter in place that's already, you know, signed on your end that you're emailing to them, right? So having done this, you know, several times over my career, you have that in place, let's say, and kind of honestly loaded up on email and ready to hit the send on. And then as soon as you make the call, you know, to them to let them know that you're parting ways, then you send the email. And if you do it right, you also have your, you know, technology person obviously shutting down their email or their systems as well, you know, to correlate with that. I know that might seem small, but it's actually kind of large because in the case of, you know, certain people will try to steal company assets when that happens. Mm-hmm. And then it gets a little weird. I mean, I didn't have that situation with this guy. He was really understanding of it. I think he kind of knew why we were doing what we were doing and why it made good business sense to part ways. So it was about as amiable as you can get, but yeah, there's a lot of thought that goes into it, and it never feels good to do it. But if you do it the right way, then everyone should say, you know, 6 months from now should say, hey, that was actually in everyone's best interest.
So my question is, first of all, I mean, my hat's off to you, because if I worked for your company, I'd be walking through, no, not really, you know, with a big sword, just kidding. But I'm just teasing. But
yeah,
how like was there like a certain pain tolerance that this person exceeded? That's question one. And how does that develop? And question two is, I mean, are there any kind of lessons learned? I mean, in other words, like, hey, you know, we saw some indicators, we didn't act on it, we figured we'd give the person a chance. You know, are there any things now that you know about this person that didn't work out for your company that you can apply moving forward in the hiring strategy?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that was the learning lesson for us, is we made hires not fast, but we made hires primarily remotely. So we did a lot of phone interviews, a lot of virtual video interviews, and then we did the onboarding process mostly virtually too, because it's a remote sales force.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we have people all over the country, And what we learned is that's great, but by investing a little bit more, so case in point, when we ended the week with that social happy hour on Thursday, that was like a launch event, right? It was like a Vabbit launch event for Orange County, California, mm-hmm. in a way. Right. And we had like probably close to 50 people there, right? It was great energy. It was great buzz that's been circulating. You know, I'm still getting hit up, you know, to this day, people saying thank you or saying, hey, I need to connect you to this person or hey, this and that, right? So it's created this buzz and this momentum. And we learned that by doing a similar format to the sales kickoff, but in a more of a training capacity for onboarding, we could expedite the sales cycle and sales business development by, well, easily, you know, 4 to 8 weeks, let's say, right? Because when someone's coming on board and they're just learning something new, they're just starting to get their feet wet, we can actually help them with that effort to refer to my, you know, teach a man to help fish. Well, when you're starting out, you want to help, you know, them bring in the fish. And if we help them bring in the fish in a social mixer, meaning, you know, they're inviting their, let's say, prospects or their initial people that they think of that they want to introduce Vabbit to. And the co-founders and myself are there, and they might just, you know, be kind of edifying and introducing us to them. And then we're kind of doing the closing or, you know, doing a lot of the value proposition sharing for that, those initial interactions. They're listening in, they're hearing it, they're absorbing it, but they're not necessarily selling it. So they're learning in that way, but their prospects are first week getting, or at least some of them getting introduced to Vabbit. That was kind of eye-opening for us. Right. So we took a, you know, the sales kickoff and we said, how can we re-swizzle it? You know, cause we considered it a very successful event from start to finish, re-swizzle it in other aspects of our business. And the onboarding was one of those, right? So as we continue to build out and hire people, we've decided we're not going to solely do it remotely. We're not going to fly them out here. We will for sales, formal sales kickoffs for the year or whatever, but we're going to go to them and we're going to go into their market and help them launch their market, basically.
That's good. Yeah, that's real good. And that way, like you said, they can get some modeling and some live training and on how to close and, like you said,
and just
the,
how to
the
talk
value proposition.
The talk. Yeah. Yeah. It's just because when you don't know anything, like those first couple, and I know I was the same way, those first couple call, you're feeling your way around. It's uncomfortable because you don't know how to position it. But if you're around it enough, you know, so some of the best folks we had on the team were people that I was fortunate enough to have out in California with me that I could just train day in and day out. They were around me, so they heard me talking about it. And then it was easy for them to make the transition. So coaching and mentorship, I mean, the more you can have people just absorbed into that material, the faster they learn it, and obviously the faster they produce. So that was our big learning lesson, right? Not to say that if we had done it that way, because I think we also, you know, this particular gentleman, because the question we asked ourselves is, was this on us or was he just the wrong fit? And I think we still determined it was a wrong fit, but we also learned something about ourselves and our process and, you know, throughout the system, throughout the process.
Well, good. I'm glad that, yeah, like you said, that something came, some learning came as a result of the termination. Conversely, have you ever, as one of your hires come on and kind of a Renaissance man or woman and was actually teaching you guys some things, a thing or two about the value proposition and the close, et cetera. Have you had any stellar?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, yeah. That same, I call him Kid. He's a young man that I was referring to, you know, I guess he's still technically a millennial, but barely. Learned a ton from
a zillennial.
No, he would be a Z. He'd be
a zillennial. Okay, just a Z. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So Yeah, we learned a ton from him because he looked at things through a different lens than we did. He was super aggressive and super willing to, you know, get out in the marketplace and do things that hadn't been done before. And so he was a great source of learning for us, you know, as we were launching the sales team last year as to how to do things better, new, different. Because that was part of it, right? Like when you launch something, you don't want to launch it the same way you've always had it. You obviously want a bit of a facelift, right?
Right.
So he was instrumental in that. And there's been several other people, right? Outsiders. I mean, I could even say Naomi has been instrumental in it because she's outside of the software space, outside of tech. And the reality is we're not always selling to tech. Oftentimes you're selling to non-tech people. And you have to be able to sell to them in a way that they understand it. So having those outsiders that can, you know, provide you valuable feedback to that is helpful.
It is. I'm sure. Now, was she at the booth with the wheel? Was she actually there?
She was.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. Ladies, just kidding. No, that's good. That's a very, very good.
Yeah, she was taking the fishbowl around and gathering business cards, and she's not afraid to go talk to anyone. Yeah, she was. We have a gong, you know, like which is for the sales team whenever someone closes a deal. You know, we hit the gong for it.
Wow.
And so we brought that with us just to kind of get some attention, to get people to come to the booth to put their card in and spin the wheel and whatever. And so she was facilitating, orchestrating all of that. She did a great job.
Awesome. So she wasn't a brand ambassador. She was actually, or is there another title of her function at that?
Oh, I mean, at this point, she just... You know, and this is the, I would say another, you know, piece of being an entrepreneur, small business owner, successful leader of a major company, even the person that, you know, stands beside you is really important that they're kind of aligned to things. And they might not be as actively involved as maybe like, you know, my other half, Naomi, is, right? She's very involved. They have to at least be supportive, you know, emotionally supportive. Because when you're on a track for large, big, hairy goals, it can be taxing, right? There's days that you are, you know, emotionally or even physically drained, and you need that support, you know, to say, hey, you know, you got this, right? And sometimes, you know, you even need a little bit more than that. And in her case, she's been great about, you know, stepping up, helping fill in, because really, you know, a 10-year-old startup, as I say, with this product, right? Well-established company that's been around the block, had tons of success, but still is pretty little in terms of employee size and number of people that are part of the organization. So you need lots of help, you know, in a situation like that, because different people bring different levels of expertise. And, you know, she's been helpful throughout the process. And so for any of you out there, you know, I'd say look to your better half. If you aren't already, you should be, you know, to the source of, you know, guidance or wisdom and truth, or at least just involving them for emotional support. Really important thing. I'm sure you do that, you know, with yours as well, Bruce.
Oh, yes, definitely. Particularly for feedback. Yeah, I get the unsolicited feedback all the time about this or that, but yeah, for sure. No, that's really good. Really, like I said, fluid and cooperative. That way, you have that engagement across the line and stuff like that. And yeah, that's you know, with some of the corporate coaching, you know, those are kind of closed meetings because the problems sometimes of a sensitive nature, and then with the prison stream, that just always something that you know, just you just kind of like with the prison thing, it's either other people who are in the know with the law or other people who have been consumers of correctional services, you know, that could maybe empathize with the this potential customer, or whatever, or an attorney that is familiar. So I'm actually working on a 1/6 of a page ad that's going to go into a national magazine for the prison consulting stream. And I was close to committing to going to like a trade show, if you will, and then doing what you, not necessarily spin the wheel of crime, but something, you know, some sort of a presence at a trade show with handouts and shaking hands and networking and stuff like that. But in the ninth inning, we decided to go be able to negotiate a good deal, the 1/6 of a page ad in a national magazine that could really bring us some business. And the organization that we're advertising in has brought us a good deal of business. So I know it sounds old school to do a 1/6 of a page ad in a, it's also online with their online publication, but anyhow, I think we're gonna move forward with that here. And as a matter of fact, I'll be getting the first proof back this weekend on that ad. And man, it's a pressure cooker because every word has to be right. Placement is right. You know,
right.
I won't say that I'm stressing out on it, but going back and forth with my designer, my graphic designer, and trying to be mindful of her time and not make unnecessary changes or, you know, have her do something that I'm going to have her undo. So I've been very careful with my approach. Now I'm very good with my support staff. I mean, I'm just graphic designers, attorneys, dry cleaners.
Right. Dennis,
anybody, I'm very nice. Oh gosh, I'm so nice. And try to be extra mindful, to be respectful of their time and compensate them well and quickly. Sometimes within moments after each rendition. So,
wow.
Yeah. That's, I can't say I do that all the time, but I do it a lot of the time, you know, and that's one good thing about these pay apps, that you can pay these people immediately. You know, they don't have to wait for right. invoice. And then I can just kind of keep that flow going. And I know they appreciate that as freelancers, you know, a lot of these are freelancers and they appreciate that, that income, and the speedy delivery of it. So which is good, because then when I have an epiphany, or I can get somebody quickly engaged, you know, into doing something for me, or proofreading. So I have another person that proofreads a lot of my articles, book chapters, and stuff like that. That I'm just too close to the forest to see the trees, you know. Can't. I'll just miss. You know, grammatical things, syntactical things, and as good as I'd like to think I am, I'm just not, you know. And my writing is actually kind of declining with age a little bit. I thought it would increase, but somehow I'm getting a little bit more lazier in my language. You know, well, screw this, you know, da da da. Wait a minute, am I talking? Am I writing like I speak? You know, it's not good. So. Well, anyway, I know we got a couple of minutes left, but so yeah, you know.
Yeah, a good little show here today.
Catching up with what Ebony and Ivory are doing there. I'd love to hear, you know, love to hear about Babylon, what you're doing, and you know, you guys can just kind of, you know, hire somebody, onboard them, and terminate them all third electronically.
Yeah.
And
well, I at least try to make a phone call, right? To have the human aspect of it. Like, it's not just all electronically, but yeah, a lot of it is electronically driven nowadays. So yeah, it's a fun project. It's dynamic, and there's something new every week, you know.
Yeah,
it's worthwhile, I think, sharing with the listeners out there, so they have new insights every week.
Absolutely. I love hearing about it, and I love to hear how business at that type of level, with that type of a software and service you guys provide. It's just fun to hear about. So, Well,
Awesome.
Let me, yeah. So find us on our Facebook page, Concierge Coaches Show, our Instagram, The Concierge Coaches, our slowly but growing LinkedIn. And that's, is that also The Concierge Coaches?
It Justin? Is.
It is.
We are
it
the,
is.
Yep.
The Concierge Coaches, and I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach you?
Nimrigood.com. So just lastname.com. You can find me through there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're going to miss you next week, but I folks, guarantee you that we're going to have an interesting show next week, and got a couple of guests possibly to bring on, and at least one of them will come, if not more. So, so Justin, have a great yeah. week in Atlanta, and look forward yeah. to hearing about the experience once you get back.
Yeah, yeah. Likewise, Bruce, and then for the listeners, in a couple of weeks, we'll have a dynamic guest on who's an executive coach for Allergan and many other, you know, Fortune 500 type companies. So,
awesome.
Looking forward to that.
Yes, indeed. Okay, then. Well, folks, we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. And lastly, don't forget to come by and see the art or see or listen to the archive show, and as well as catch us on iTunes. We're on there as well. So until next week, we'll see you again on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.